Oh, how wonderful it is to be in the family of God through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And welcome. The lesson for today is entitled E Pluribus Unum, or Unity in Jesus. And yes, E Pluribus Unum is Latin. For those of you who may have taken it, you would recognize it instantly. But if you didn't know, that's fine too. What it actually translates into English as is, out of many, one. Out of many, one. And this, of course, is the motto of the United States of America, for we are one country, but we are many states within that country to form the unity of the country. And so that has a natural application. But this concept also has a spiritual application, very, very important, which we will explore today. But first of all, let me begin by introducing you to my Ivy. Isn't she beautiful? Show up, baby. That's it. Yeah. Woo. Okay. So you're going, oh, okay, it's an ivy. So what? Well, this is a very special ivy. This plant was given to me quite some years ago, and for several years she prospered, she grew, she spread out, she was draping over here and there, and it was absolutely beautiful. And then earlier this year, I actually took time to stop and look at her and realized, oh dear, every single leaf was brown and shriveled up, except one. One leaf was still green and healthy. I was like, oh my gosh, one, yes, okay. So, what I did at this point was to pluck off all the brown leaves and part of the vine that went with it, just got rid of all of that stuff down to the one healthy green leaf. And I ask Ivy forgiveness for having neglected her, because it was obvious that I had not been watering her. I'd been forgetting to do it. And she needs water to live, right? We all do. And so she was very unhappy, and I had to ask her forgiveness. And as I did that, then I also watered her with plant food and water, of course. So here she had now food and water. And I spoke life to her. Life, love, and encouragement for health, strength, growth, and prosperity. And I spoke to her every day, and I remembered now to make sure that she had adequate water and adequate food, adequate light, and most of all, adequate love, that I loved on her every day. I spoke it out to her. And oh, I'll tell you what, it was exciting to watch her, because after a while, beside that one little leaf, out from that first leaf came a second leaf, and then another, and then another. And I was like, oh my goodness, she's growing, she's prospering, she's having a very blessed time, spreading her wings, so to speak, spreading out her vines and stretching her leaves and her vines out and going, okay, world, there are 11 of me now, and we're still going. There's more to come. And hallelujah, that's why to me she is so beautiful. She's a survivor and a thriver because of water, because of food, and because of blessed words spoken to her. Words from the Word of God, that she should not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. And here she is declaring the works of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, you may say, okay, well, that's a nice story, beautiful plant, but You know, this has spiritual significance too, because the key to all this is that ivy is one plant with one root system, but many leaves, and the number of leaves is actually growing and becoming more and more and more. But all of those came out of that first leaf and rooted and grounded in one foundation. So we are the body of Christ with many members to the body of Christ, but we are all grafted into the vine, into the branch of Jesus, the branch of Jesse. We are grafted into the branch of Jesse, which is Jesus. We live and move and have our being in Jesus. And this scripture is not on the outline. If you'd like to write it down, it's Acts 17, verse 28. Acts 17, verse 28, we live and move and have our being in Jesus, and he holds us together as one cohesive unit. Hallelujah. So let's go to the Word of God and see what the Holy Spirit has to say on the subject. So again, E Pluribus Unum is Latin, out of many, one. And it is the motto of the United States, but we have things that we can learn as the body of Christ from this concept. And it starts with Jesus is the branch. And here's the lineage, the branch growing out of Jesse's roots. This is Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. This is a familiar scripture, because at ABC we have been encouraging you to pray this prayer from Isaiah 11, verse number 2, on a daily basis for you and your loved ones. And so, again, let me reiterate, this was talking about Jesus. This was prophetic about Jesus. But we want to be like Jesus. And so, if we want to emulate our wonderful Savior, then this prayer works for us as well. So, let me repeat that then. And here's how you personalize it. Starting with verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon me and my loved ones, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Those belong to me and mine in Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, now we're looking at prophetic scriptures here, talking about Jesus as the branch, and we go to Jeremiah 23, verse number 5, where it speaks of a branch of righteousness. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice on the earth. Moving on to Jeremiah 33, verse number 15, it now speaks of the branch of righteousness. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Executing judgment and righteousness in the land. Praise God. Zechariah 3, verse 8, talks about my servant, the branch. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee. Behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. My servant, the branch. And we know that all of these are prophetic of the coming of Jesus Christ. Zechariah 6:12 then goes on to say that that the branch shall build the temple of the Lord. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. And we remember the Lord of hosts has to do with God being a warrior God, God being in charge and taking authority and dominion. The Lord of hosts saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place and shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall build the temple of the Lord. And again, this was Old Covenant, and it was prophecy toward the coming of Jesus. Now, today, in modern times, in the New Testament times, we are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17 says, we are the holy temple of God. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. You are the holy temple of God. The Holy Spirit of God resides in you as a holy guest. Permanent residence in you as long as you accept Jesus. He's with you. He's in you. He goes wherever you go. He follows you wherever you are. Your holy guest. He's holy, and he expects you to be holy also as his tabernacle. We are the temple of the living God, 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Ah. How special that is. We've been chosen of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. You are not your own. There is another scripture that says you're not your own because you were bought and paid for with the precious price of the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to understand that our bodies are not our own. They belong to God. We are bought and paid for, remember, with that precious blood of Jesus Christ. We as Christians committed to Jesus cannot say, my body, my choice, I'm going to do whatever I want with my body. It's not our body to make that decision. No, our bodies belong to God. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we have to remember and respect that and take good care of our bodies and align our bodies up with what the Word of God wants us to be and to do. Very important. Now, we've talked about Jesus as the branch. Jesus is also the vine. And I want to read from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. This is Jesus speaking. How do I know? The words are in red in my Bible. That's always a cute joke. But we do know that this is Jesus speaking. I am, and he is the great I am, right? So I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. So let's break down the scripture into its individual components. First of all, from John 15, verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine. So he says the true vine. So maybe there's a vine that isn't the true vine, and we need to be sure that we're hooked into the true vine, where his Father is the husbandman. So this sounds like a family business. It's Jesus and his Father and the Holy Spirit working together with us. Verse 2, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And this puts me in remembrance of a time when I was growing up, and we had a house that had several little bushes right in the front of the house, right up against the wall of the house. And it was now autumn time, probably about this time of year, and the bushes were quite large and quite happy. And my mother decided she was going to prune them. Well, pruning is purging, right? So she goes out, my dad and I were still in the house, and she goes out and does her business, and she's busy at pruning the bushes. And then she came in the house. And when my dad and I went outside to look, we were horrified. Oh, what has she done? Those bushes that were big and bushy and all were new about like this size. They were so tiny. And now they had to go into winter time with the cold and the snow. And oh, wow, are they going to survive? We were a little bit skeptical, I have to admit. But what was done was done. She had already cut them. She had already pruned them way, way back. And so we went through the winter and came the spring. And these bushes just blossomed forth with new branches and new leaves and new flowers. They just got so big and beautiful, better than ever before, because they had been pruned. And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to cut out all the dead stuff, sort of like what I did with ivy. All the stuff that was brown and shriveled up. And even if it's healthy, but it needs to be cut back a little bit. Some things that may seem good, but yet we've got to give those up. Let's prune. Let's let God do the pruning with us, the purging of all that is not necessary. And let us branch forth as big, beautiful Christians in the family of God, with all new life and health and strength, blossoming forth and showing forth the glories of God. Praise God. And then John 15, verses 4 and 5. And this talks about abiding. The word abide shows up several times in this particular passage. And so I went to my friend Webster and looked up the word abide. And these are some of the meanings that came out of there. Abide, to stand fast, to remain, to go on being, to stay, to reside, to await, to submit to. A synonym would be to continue or to stay. Abide by means to remain true to, to live up to a promise, an agreement, to submit to and carry out as abiding by a decision. we've made the decision to abide by Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And so we see to reside. This is not just a temporary housing. This is permanent residence. We are abiding in the vine, abiding, taking up permanent residence, and we're saying, Jesus, we're here, we're locked in, we're not going anywhere. If you're moving, we're moving with you, but we're not moving without you. Wherever you go, we go, Lord. Wherever you guide, we will guide. And we await you. We have patience to be in the vine and are submitted to your ways. And this thing of, God, I'm not letting you out of my sight, reminds me of the story of Elijah and Elisha. And you may remember that Elijah knew that he was going to be carried up to heaven. He knew the day was coming very, very soon. In fact, everybody knew it. He had a school of prophets and they all knew it. They knew by the Lord that the time was coming imminently. And Elijah told Elisha, if you physically see me go up and you take my cloak and you put it on yourself, you will be given twice the anointing that has been on me. Twice the anointing. And Elisha was pretty excited about that. Okay, yes. Oh, I am ready to receive, Lord. And so the next day, then Elijah said, Elisha, I need to go over to so-and-so. I have some business to take care of there. You know, you're welcome to wait for me here, and I'll be back in a day. And Elisha shook his head and said, uh-uh, no way. You're going, I'm going. And the next day, Elijah did the same thing. And Elisha still, uh-uh, I'm going with you. I don't care where you're going, what you're doing, I am going with you. And by the third day, he said, you know what, Elijah, I am not letting you out of my sight. You are going to be leaving, and I will see it happen. And I want that double anointing. And so that's exactly what happened. And see, that's how we, that attitude he had, that's what we need to have with our God. To show that, yes, we are hooked in with our God, and we're hooked in with each other in our God. That kind of resilience, that kind of determination, that kind of stick-to-itiveness, keeping these in our sight and acting on it. And so, we all know what happened then. Elisha was present when Elijah was taken up, and as he was taken up and the cloak fell off, Elisha went right over, grabbed it, and put it on him, and immediately it implanted that double anointing on him. And there's a story behind that, which I think I have time to mention that just briefly because it's so cool. Elijah had 8 miracles in his life. And Elisha, to get double, needed 16, right? So he had 15 miracles and he died and was buried. What's with that? That's not double. God does not shortchange. Well, do we all know the story of what happened? That a dead man was thrown on top of the grave of Elisha, and the anointing in his bones was so strong, it went up through the dirt and raised that man from the dead that was thrown on top of the grave. Miracle number 16. So even after he was gone, God was still working through him, and that was the fulfillment of the promise. In completion, nothing missing, nothing lacking. Wow, what a God we have, right? Woohoo! Okay, so disciples bear much fruit. Remember, as Pastor Joshua has taught from John 8:31 and 32, that there are believers and there are disciples. Disciples are believers, but they're the ones that have that stick-to-itiveness, the ones that pursue the Word of God, the ones that are disciplined. That's where the disciple comes from, discipline. And so, naturally, they're going to bear more fruit. This is John 15, verses 7 and 8 now. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Okay, disciples, everybody got that? Okay, now we come up to the unity of the many with the one. The body of Christ joined and knit together. I like that term, woven and knit together. You know, when I was in college, I learned a little bit about knitting. And I want to show you something. If we are knit and woven together, joined together, we look at first this one. And you notice it's a very loose weave, but you tug on it and it's not coming apart. Every individual thread has a place in this design, and all of them work together to create a beautiful tapestry, a beautiful design. Each thread has its own function, and yet they all have to work together as one. Now, this one, on the other hand, is more tightly woven together, but it has the same situation. There's a little bit of give on it, but it's also very solid, and it all functions together as one. Every thread belongs in this, and it has its plan and purpose for being this, as these do with this. And so, we are like that with our God. We are each individuals, but we are a part of the one. So we take after him like my ivy, where all the new growth comes out of that one. That one being Jesus. We know Jesus was the first fruit of many to come, and we are the many to come. So Ephesians 4:16. The body of Christ joined and knit together, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. That means just perfectly, expertly, just planned ahead and put together with purpose and planning, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Put together, compacted, every joint supplieth, every one of us, whether we're an eye or a little toe or whatever our part of the body is, it doesn't matter. We are all needed. We all have to function together. That little toe cannot walk by itself. And the body can't function with just one eye. I mean, if the eye sees, but what's the body going to do? If it sees, but then something moves out of its sight, and now the sight isn't any good because the eye doesn't move all by itself. So yes, we all need to be together. We need to function together. We need to work together. We need to love together. So to continue here then, which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's God's agape love. Love that loves no matter what. Love that loves, love that forgives, love that forgets, love that just loves. The body is one with many members, as that song said. I thought that was just so perfect for this lesson. 1 Corinthians 12:12, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Bottom line, we are not independent of each other. We need each other. We need to work together. We need to communicate. We need to function together in the same direction, all growing together toward Jesus, all growing together in these last days. ABC's been teaching about how to make it through from today until the day that Jesus returns. And we all have the same goal. We know, all need to act together as one, moving toward that goal. Ephesians 4, 1 through 4 talks about one body in the unity of the Spirit. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Okay, we're all called, we all have a vocation, we all have a planning and a purpose to our lives. God did not create us as just little blobs floating around doing whatever. No, he has a specific plan and purpose for each and every one of us. And we need to seek him and know what that is, that we may walk therein. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, there it is again, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So there's love and peace, and we know there's joy where there's love and peace. So we've already got the beginning of the fruit of the Spirit going strongly, and that's all an integral part of unity. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Ephesians 4:13 goes on to talk about the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, when we attain his plans and purposes for which we were created. Ephesians 5, 26 and 27 talk about the washing of the water by the word. And remember, we said that plants, like my ivy, need water and they need food to survive. And so do we. So, that he, meaning Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. When he has his way and everything comes together, we become that glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle nor any such thing, but that this church should be holy and without blemish, no sins, no iniquities, no demons. Wow. The glorious church. How awesome is that? That is our goal. And through unity, we can achieve that goal. Psalm 133, verses 1 and 3, talk about the heart of God here, about brethren dwelling together in unity. This is, again, like the first song that we sang today. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Where there's love, where there's unity, there's life forevermore. And now we come to Genesis 11:6. I think we all know the story of the Tower of Babel, but let me recount a little bit to refresh some details. This was after the flood, where the whole earth had been wiped clean of everything, people, animals, everything, except those who were in the ark, which was 8 people and all these animals that God brought to the ark. But everybody else died. And so now there are people on the earth again, and they are remembering back to the flood, and they are fearful. They don't want that happening again. They obviously didn't understand that God said, I will never flood the earth again, and that he gave a symbol to verify that, a seal in the sky of the rainbow, establishing that he would never flood the earth again. But these men didn't know that, and they chatted amongst themselves, and they're like, we are not going to have that happen again. No, we're not going to be drowned out. So what we need to do is we need to come together and we need to build a tower all the way up to the heavens, all the way high, way above where the waters would have gone, so that if they come again and they want to flood the earth, we'll just climb up this tower and be way up there, close to God and away from being drowned and killed. That was their intention. And they were all in unity and in agreement about it. And God saw what was going on. And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. They are all in unity. And they're going to do their own thing in this unity unless I do something about it. And so what God chose to do was to give them all different languages. And that's kind of appropriate as I think of it too for that last song. We are many and we are one body, but we have different languages. And that meant that people could no longer communicate with each other. And they couldn't plan what they had planned for that Tower of Babel. And so that plan failed. They had to go their way and do whatever. But God saw the exercise of the power of unity. Now, we need to take that from those people that didn't know God to those of us who know God, are in personal relationship with God, that we are in the family of God, and we want to be in that same powerful unity, togetherness, that dependence upon each other, that those threads woven into the tapestry, that we cannot survive on our own. We need each other. And most of all, of course, we need our God through our Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So let me read Genesis 11:6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. Now, grammatically, this is an incorrect sentence because people is actually plural. It's more than one person. It's lots of people. And it should be the people are. But because of the intense unity of these people, they came together as one. And so the people is one. And they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing, not one thing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Wow, the power of unity is shown here in their words and in their actions. And you know what? Unity has that same power and authority today. That same togetherness, that same nothing shall be restrained from them, can be true of us. What do we imagine to do? Do you imagine to be alive and remain when Jesus returns? Let's believe it together. And let's do it together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So be it, Lord.
Well, praise the Lord. We are one body. And even though we're scattered throughout the earth right now, watching it on the internet, we are still together in one body. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. That time and space has no effect on the unity that we have with each other in Jesus Christ. We are one. And so let's take this oneness now into communion. We praise you, Lord Jesus, that you are the one in whom we live, we move, we have our being. Thank you, Jesus, that your body was broken, that our broken bodies would be made whole, that as we dwell in you, and have our unity in the Spirit, that your life-giving body, as we eat of this, your flesh, heals every single cell, every organ, every system, that you eradicate sickness and disease, infirmities and pains, that we are connected to you as we eat of this, your flesh. We praise you, Jesus, that we can do this. You've provided it for us. You've given of yourself in every possible way. That we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We are not a people trying to get well. We are already the healed of the Lord. And we are fighting off these challenges that the devil would try to put on us. We are the healed of the Lord. Healing is the children's bread. And that's what we are eating right now. You said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." And we receive the healing that you have provided because you have a covenant with us. And in that covenant, you have taken what you want, which is our sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain. So thank you for this covenant, Lord, that you fulfilled it in the breaking of your body, and it's yours, and your health, your divine health and healing is ours. We receive that in Jesus' name. And also on that night, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me." Lord, you are the vine and we are the branches. And when we dwell in you, we produce much fruit. Thank you for your anointing that flows through us. Thank you for your anointing, God, that is exponential. Thank you, Lord, for the example of Elijah and Elisha. That when Elisha saw Elijah go up, that he received the double portion. Lord, we were crucified with you. We were buried with you. And we were raised in newness of life with you. So we saw you in your resurrection, because we were resurrected with you. We saw you go up in the Spirit because we were with you. And you've given us a double portion. You've given us the anointing, the Holy Spirit, who dwells not just upon us, but in us. We have the double portion. Christ in us. The Holy Spirit upon us, in us. We are the temple of God. And you said we would do the same works that you did and greater. We do have a double portion. We have a unity with you. And we are going from glory to glory in you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for this covenant. Thank you for your blood that washes away sin and iniquities and heals us mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. Thank you, God, that we are becoming like you, because that is what the Holy Spirit is doing, producing fruit in us, that we would be just like you at your return, that when we see you, it would be like looking in a mirror. Thank you, God. Thank you for such a provision. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for giving us life. Thank you for eternal life. Life with you. Thank you that we shall be alive and remain at your return, Lord Jesus. That we shall go up into the clouds and meet you. We praise you, God. Thank you for this new covenant where there's such freedom, that negativity is done away with when we're dwelling in unity with you. And all of the love that you have has been shed abroad in our hearts. We get to love you back with this love. And we get to love other people with the overflow. And the scripture says that people will know that we are Christians by your love. God is love. We are Christians. We are Christ-like ones walking this earth. And when two or three agree in your name, it shall be done. Because that's the power of unity. Praise you, Jesus. What a marvelous covenant. What a marvelous God that we serve. That we don't just serve you, God, but you call us friends. We are friends of God. And we are becoming just like you. And birds of a feather flock together. And we at ABC are flocking together and becoming like you. And that we will soar with you. We will soar with the uplift of the anointing. And we will do great and mighty works because of unity. And in this communion time right now, we are in unity. Thank you, Jesus, for your hand upon us. Thank you that you don't leave us the way we are, but that as we go from here, that we are becoming more and more like you. And we grow up into a body that is fit and strong, and Jesus is the head. Thank you, Jesus. We drink of this, your blood, your love poured out for us, and that we are clean. We are clean because of your blood that washes away sin and iniquity. Thank you, Jesus. We receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen.